The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Carlos Estrada, head of venture acceleration at BioWell, a new bioindustrial startup accelerator founded by First Bite Ventures. Carlos and his team are working to select the inaugural cohort, which will launch this summer. On the show today, he explains the mission of BioWell, how its $700,000 build-to-scale grant is fueling its development, and the unique challenges biotech startups are facing. Carlos, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Natalie, how are you?
I'm great. Well, I mean, it's kind of overdue that we have you on the show. Obviously, big player in the Houston innovation ecosystem for a few years, so excited to finally chat and talk about some really exciting things with BioWell. But before we dive into that, why don't you, for the benefit of our listeners, tell me a little bit about your career and how you've really built this career of supporting entrepreneurs and startups. How'd you get into that business exactly?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess that takes me to my early days at when I started university years at the University of Houston, pursuing an electrical engineering degree while figuring out what I wanted to also do with my life. I guess we're supposed to do that during the college years. I wasn't fully bought into electrical engineering. I feel like I needed something more hands-on. It was mostly a lot of lectures and some labs, but I found the Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship and the CEO Club. I applied and I was lucky to get in into the program, and that's where they assigned us a mentor, and Maritza Day, it's her name, and she kind of taught me the principles of business and tried to help me to figure out how to create a startup or a company while I was in college, right? Because that's the lowest risk in general stages in life for most people or some people. So she helped me to understand that I had some skill set in building websites and some apps. So she started to help me to get some of my first clients. So I guess right after graduation, I already had a bit of a startup or a company already established. And that's kind of how I got started. Eventually, after about 3-4 years of having that company, I left but prior to that, I was helping here in Houston at the Houston Technology Center with Greg Mysak, all the efforts to make Houston a great hub for startups to get launched. Eventually, I did go to Austin, Texas to join a startup called 3-Day Startup, which took me to different parts of the world in the US to teach a lean startup methodology. And I left and went to Seattle to join a couple of friends to help create digital products for Fortune 100 companies like Amazon, among other players. But you know, while understanding what I wanted to do next and exploring while working with some clients in LA and San Francisco, I left to Lincoln, Nebraska, where I was helping young farmers to create, you know, some ag tech related products. They wanted to optimize farm yields, watering systems, even processes management. Then after that, I met, you know, she's very famous here in town, but I met Emily Keaton, and she extended an offer to join WeWork. And so I joined WeWork, the headquarters level, and they did a combination of two things. One was WeWork Labs, which was basically providing a space that was conducive for startups to be able to raise funds, do business with each other, find them service providers, which taught me a lot. We got a chance to work with SoftBank and distribute a lot of the knowledge they had at over 100 buildings, over 300 staff members. So that was kind of acceleration at a very high scale, a massive scale. Eventually, I did, I guess less relevant to this, but I did change management for them, basically repurposing staff time to generate more revenue for WeWork. And after that, the opportunity to work with Rise appeared to help scientists become more entrepreneurial, pursue those paths, get to commercialization faster. Well, then, and after that, I had met Veronica. I was introduced by a mutual friend, and by then I felt like I already had a good understanding of what Houston, its core competencies and what emerging competencies it had. One is in the hard tech areas, and the other one's doing the software, as we're seeing a lot of movement in the software space once more. But on the hard tech side, Houston is very well poised to be able to help this kind of startups that we're supporting. But to, I guess, in a nutshell, after being a founder, losing friends, going through the trials and tribulations, it felt very rewarding to help founders to also grow, launch the startups.
I mean, I definitely feel like that line is finding where support is needed for startups, and being able to provide it. It's very interesting too, like how many different industries your careers touch, and also in Houston, outside of Houston, so you make for a really great perspective too. So tell me about First Bite Ventures and BioWell. For those listening who aren't familiar with either entity, which they definitely should be for First Bite Ventures, because we've had Veronica on the podcast before, and covered both
Nice.
that. But yeah, for those listening, tell us a little bit about both First Bite Ventures and BioWell.
Yeah, sure. So First Bite Ventures invest in early stage bioindustrial companies that are have a proof of concept, possibly a product, maybe even a customer. They're looking to for capital to grow their startup. While we were looking at various of these companies, we found ourselves finding different needs that these kind of startups had. And actually, that was some of the learnings that I had. After being in tech for a while and seeing a lot of, the so-called DEX, learning what this type of companies need was very interesting, because a lot of them start to decrease their growth when they start to look at the next stage of a lab space, when they need to increase maybe production or they need different testing and lab facilities. And that's where the opportunity to BioWell came about, which in a sense it's a in essence it's a it's an accelerator program that helps these startups to find the lab facilities, potential customers. So we solve for that need, where we create the collaborations with corporates for them to run pilots with them, try to see where the technology applies in their portfolio or in challenges these companies might be facing. And at the end of a program, which is 6 months, then they're able to possibly extend the pilot period and even possibly receive funding from their corporate venture capital arm as well. So that's kind of how we went about solving the need for the startup. So instead of being the typical, I guess, I'm not trying to talk bad about any VC, but instead of just saying no, hey, move on, we decided to create the space for them to grow and de-risk their startups further, try different experiments, and then increase their chances of success.
Yeah, and then it makes for a great pipeline for First Bite Ventures. I wonder if you could, I guess, zero in a little bit on bioindustrial technology, because I know you already described it as a hard tech, innovating within the physical world, already a very, broad topic. So let's talk specifically about biomanufacturing, bioindustrial technologies, and maybe even give some examples for people listening.
In essence, a bioindustrial company is one that's using biotechnology or other life science methods to create, I guess, new ways of creating materials that are more sustainable, right? We have a company in the portfolio called Genesis in San Diego, and I think they were just featured by the World Economic Forum to create, and they're derived from algae, as far as I understand, to create new products that would normally appear to be made out of, your typical oil-based materials like plastics, like phones or shoes, shoe soles. So that would be a more tangible example of what a bio industrial focused company would do. And what's interesting is that as they're starting to grow, the costs are great to get these companies launched, there's funding, but when it's time to get to certain scales, then that's where Houston comes into the equation to help them to build out a new lab, find bigger pieces of equipment, bioreactors, square footage that is more available if we have the talent here in Houston too. So, but to recap your question, that is what an example of a bioindustrial startup looks like.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit more about Houston as a hub for this type of technology. Does Houston have established presence in this industry? And what sort of opportunities are there for the city to emerge as a leader within this space, or even more so if it already is?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say the word's getting out when we are, for example, we went to, me and my colleagues went to SynBio Beta. Think of it as the South by Southwest of, bioindustrials and synthetic biology related type of companies, corporations and startups, et cetera. When we mentioned that we are building our accelerator and that we have our fund and that we're going to build in the process of creating a lab space, a scale-up facility for these startups, they did not look surprised that it was happening. It was happening in Houston. They were actually very supportive and excited that Houston is the place where this is happening, and to them it made total sense, which was very reassuring. And, serves as a validation point that we're on the right track. But, we have the right talent. Our universities produce, great researchers. We have the energy companies that utilize similar processes that could be, that they have transfer skills, basically. Folks that are working at these companies, they have the skills that could be utilized at these startups. And we also have the infrastructure, the labs, the square footage. There's various companies in real estate that are creating basically the shells, just plug in ready for laboratory equipment from bioreactors to just, get plugged in and for these companies get ready to go. Maybe not at the startup level, maybe larger companies. We also have the know-how, the universities, time, speed, definitely lower cost as well, plays a big role in the equation. And the goal is to create sustainable chemicals, which I think there's a lot more interest in Houston than there has been in the past. So, but yeah, so that's why Houston is a really good place to be able to create this.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of an oversimplification, but like we have the energy companies, the incumbent energy companies, and the talent there, and the universities, as you mentioned too. But then we also have the life science space, which, as you kind of described, biotech being, taking life science information and using it to create more sustainable solutions. So yeah, there does seem to be like a natural, with the Venn diagram that is life science and energy, that it overlaps, and boom, we've got biomanufacturing. So very interesting. So when it comes to establishing the BioWell, tell us a little bit about kind of the origin story of putting together the accelerator, and where you're at today.
Yes, definitely. So when Veronica asked me to join, we put our, our minds together to see where what could be the most beneficial components to create an accelerator, and not just a typical accelerator that goes to curriculum. Nothing wrong with that, but there's a lot of content out there already. So we didn't just want to, you know, provide content, force people to go to modules. There will be those there, but the hardest part in this type with for this type of startups is identifying the clients, lab space, or securing clients slash customers, lab space, and then eventually funding, and even and grant writing too. A lot of these startups need a lot of non-dilutive funding to just get to a certain level where VCs could pay attention, right? So VCs generally, I guess, would turn them down. So instead of us turning down, we decided to take a more long-term approach where we put them in front of grant writers, we help them to figure out what strategy makes sense for them to eventually pursue a client. We even secure customers slash clients for them. So when they're ready to work on a pilot, or they're ready to have a material or an enzyme, that they have somewhere to go test things out. Which interestingly enough is kind of similar in ag tech. When I was in ag tech, I had to find the funding, I had to find the acreage at farms, and for startups to test their creations, because it's kind of high risk for the potential customer. But what's interesting is that there's a shift in mindset that we're seeing from our corporates, that they're not seeing startups as a threat or as just ways to take technology and hoping that they could scale something, but instead as kind of innovation partners, right? So they want to support them and bring them, provide as much as many resources as possible to for these startups to thrive. So it's a very welcoming environment that we have kind of discovered and created. And obviously the energy and desires are there for all the players involved to want to support this kind of startup.
I know the first cohort is the process has already begun for selecting and figuring out that first cohort, which will start very soon. So tell us a little bit about what types of companies you were looking for, because I know the opportunity to join the first cohort has closed, but there will be more cohorts. So tell us a little bit about the companies that you were looking for and how in the future they can get involved with both the BioWell and First Bite Ventures.
Yeah, definitely. Happy to tell you more about that. So we look for companies that are in the technology readiness level 3 to 5. Those are kind of the stages where they're starting to identify the path of what their go-to-market product or go-to-market chemical, sustainable chemical. Some companies are exploring SAF or SAF fuels, right, to provide to aviation companies. I think a friend of ours, a company we're friends with, Cemvita, right? They're one great example of pursuing that path of creating materials with biology or derived from nature. So definitely in the range of 3 to 5. So proven lab validation, sustainable feedstock. So it has to be sustainable feedstock, meaning what you're going to feed your so-called bugs to be able to generate your the materials that these companies are looking for. And yeah, just the typical and always, I guess, hard to find, but the entrepreneurial spirit of not letting the obstacles, get in their way. Resilient founders, greedy founders, resourceful founders, that's always there with that foundation. But yeah, just in general, that's what we're looking for. In companies, we've had some very interesting applications, interesting submissions of application. And you have a local company that applied, so very exciting. Even though we're having interviews with them, we don't, again, trying to really be thoughtful about the process. We don't just invite them in hoping that they learn something, but we go above and beyond, and we go touch base with our client, our corporate, and say, hey, does this material help you? Or is this technology helpful to you, right? And how can you help our startups? And so we go back and forth to make sure that it's a good fit. As you know, time is of the essence for startups, so we don't want to waste anybody's time.
Absolutely. Well, one of the kind of big, I guess, moments for creating BioWell is receiving the Build a Scale grant, which I believe was around $700,000. So tell me about that funding. What doors does that open, and how does it, you know, really fuel the fire that is BioWell?
Yes, correct. Yeah, 700 plus, I think 742 change, but definitely in the 700. So that was, I think we were about to also near the so-called valley of death ourselves to when we're starting to knock on doors for, you know, it took about 2 years to get, I know Veronica had started before me, but it took pretty long to get to where we are now. So the funding is allowing us to invest in staff, right, that are passionate about helping startups, to knock on new doors, to try to build a lab space, bring startups that couldn't get our help in the past. And so, you know, allowing us to have a more robust and sustained presence here in Houston. Obviously, the fundraising doesn't stop, but we, you know, that's allowed us to receive these startups and get this cohort started, so then we can get more traction and also more support from the local community, but outside of Texas as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great, you know, segue to talking about what is the future for BioWell and for Foodstart Ventures. Obviously, BioWell's in the process of forming its first cohort, and then you've got First Bite Ventures actively deploying capital and growing its portfolio. But what, you know, whether it's 5 or 10 years, what's the ultimate goal between, you know, both and for each?
Yeah, correct. If it took a village with to launch a software startup, it definitely takes a few villages to do one of these startups, maybe even states, towns, etc. Yeah, our future for us is to create this ecosystem where we can receive startups at different stages, right, and help to get them started from TRL 0 to TRL 2, and then we come into the 3 to 5. So create a more, you know, a flywheel that helps startups at each level to get launched. I know U of H has a lot of these companies, a lot of these technologies, rather, that get shelved right away. I know Rice shelves, tries to launch, try to be supportive, right? I mentor at some of their programs over there at Rice Alliance, Owl Spark, Blue Launch. But, you know, so they do try to help. I know they have iCorps programs as well. But we hope that we can create this ecosystem where these startups at that very early stage, you know, can have a home. We collaborate closely with programs like Activate, Nucleate in different places. So it'll be great. The goal is to create an ecosystem where startups can get started, the support of other partners, but we want to create that scale-up facilities and scale-up program for our startups. So, and that opens the door for the local economy to grow. It allows for these companies to start thinking about an HQ2 to open maybe their, you know, scale of facilities here in Houston, therefore taking square footage, paying their rents, taxes, and obviously acquiring talent from the universities here. So ultimately, that's the vision for it.
I love that idea of, you know, building the ecosystem. When you think of that and that challenge, obviously it is a collaborative effort that you need. But what do you hope to kind of relationships do you hope to develop? Obviously, finding, you know, startups, high potential startups to go through BioWell and then be portfolio companies for First Bite Ventures. But from corporates, from universities, what would you hope? What message do you want to send, I guess, to those on how they can, you know, team up with you in the greater ecosystem?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're extremely ridiculously open doors, collaborative. We're talking to Green Town Act, the New Age rights, local corporates as well. So we're really good at finding where pieces fit in the puzzle. We're not aiming to replace overlap. So keeping that two-way dialogue, I think it's very important in this when starting this kind of programs, this kind of efforts, right? I think we can all rise together. So we're open to chatting with people, creating strategic partnerships, collaborations, sending startups their way, and vice versa. I think that's going to get us to build that ecosystem. I think everybody wants it. Everybody's putting the time and resources behind it, so we can get there faster, when working together. So, they can chat with us and support, and we're happy to support it as well.
Well, I think as you mentioned, yeah, it takes a village or maybe more than a village when we're talking about hard tech. But I wanted to press you a little bit on some more specific challenges to these
Sure.
startups. Like BioWell is established to support a cohort of bioindustrial startups. So what are these companies facing specifically in terms of challenges? That other startups maybe might not be aware of even. Yeah, what's the unique challenges for these types of companies?
Correct. A very direct challenge that we're seeing, and it's a very dry one, but they often have to spend their funds trying to build their own lab spaces, right? Which that turns into capital expenses. And so by the time they're trying to focus back again on the product itself, they're starting to get into emergency mode and running out of funding. I think that's a very very clear challenge that we see a pattern we see them facing. And then we have the entrepreneurial ones where, and that one's hard because as an entrepreneur, you're kind of trying to learn what you don't know when you're getting your face, pushed against new doors. And that's when you start to learn and open them. But I would suggest founders, and I even try to apply this for myself as a former founder, but understanding what, just typical business aspects, getting cap tables ready, where funding might come from, when is the right time to do it, how to manage the teams. And I understand this might sound like later stage, but issues, but this kind of company start to have teams assemble earlier than maybe compared to your typical software company where there might be solo founders launching something. But given that sometimes this tech gets launched at universities, with their classmates, I think that's also some of the challenges we're seeing where they need a little bit more fine tuning on the entrepreneurial side. So becoming a great scientist entrepreneur, and if they have business folks that they try to at least understand the terminology for this more technical focused startup, so they can help each other out. But those are the two key areas that we're seeing. And of course, on the corporate side, their education is a little bit less, or exposure to knowledge is less. But I really like seeing that corporates are seeing startups as their innovation arm. They want to support them, be welcoming of all, which maybe in the past have been not necessarily the case, because usually we're seeing as competition or a way to take tech, buy it out, and let the founders go. But yeah, those are more, I would say, the direct challenges that we're seeing.
Yeah, it definitely seems like establishing that ecosystem here in Houston, with all of the players having a seat at the table would help a lot with those companies, right?
Correct, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And I know there's a lot more in store for First Bite Ventures, for BioWell, and for all of the companies involved in the cohort and the portfolio. So thank you so much for sharing. And I can't wait to see kind of what comes next and what companies are selected for the first cohort. I think it's very exciting time for you and your colleagues.
No, thank you so much. And thank you for reaching out, reconnecting. And I will love to keep you updated on some future projects we have in the works, collaborators, our startups, and events that we have in the works. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, absolutely. So much more to come. And I will be covering it all on InnovationMap. So thanks again, Carlos.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.